Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Newsmakers Podcast. This is Kyle Gargaro, Editorial Director of the ACHR News. Today, we're talking with Jason James, who is the president of Mechanical One, an HVAC contracting company in Florida. Thanks for joining us today, Jason.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So you opened up Mechanical One in July of this year. Why don't you just kind of give us a little bit about your background before that?
Well, essentially, I've been in this industry for several years. I've got the AC and plumbing licenses through the state of Florida. And I always say, you know, right around the beginning of summer, I had an exit from my prior employer. And I basically just saw there's a huge need in this industry. And I was kind of debating on, you know, when or if to even get back into this business, because it does have its own challenges. I mean, there's good days and there's bad days, just like in any business. And the demand is just almost overwhelming. And I think going through this last 18 months with the pandemic, in my lifetime, other than the housing cycle, I have never seen anything remotely as a disruptor across the world as that. But what I did notice is the industry just kept trucking along. You know, even everyone's a little bit nervous about construction, but people still need a place to live. Service and repair work, things are still going to break down. So I kept getting phone calls because in our industry, there's a gap, right? There's an overwhelming demand, and the labor and skill set is very short, and it's getting shorter. Not a lot of people want to come into the trade. And I kind of see that as where the opportunity was. So long story short, I just kept answering the phone like an idiot. And I'm very reluctant to say no. And the customers just kind of put me in business.
So was it kind of a lifelong dream or a long-term plan to kind of run your own show? It just kind of circumstances presented themselves?
I would say by and large, I always wanted to be in a trade base, right? Rather if it's air conditioning or plumbing or what have you. That was a long-term goal of mine. I was hoping one day to have either a significant partnership with someone at a big company or be able to start something. But the older I get, the more I value the people piece. And I would say when I was younger, that was a piece I took for granted. You know, in my 20s, I was, you know, life's long and, you know, you live loose and fast. But as I got older, I realized that people element is where I feel construction and service industry in general does not put a lot of emphasis. And to circle back to your question, I just felt like if I am going to do it, I kind of do want to do it on my own so I can have a complete impact on what I feel I can do differently with the culture.
Sure. Now, even though you're in the trades, I mean, it's a big undertaking to get something like this up and running, right? Your office space, employees, logo, name, kind of everything. Could kind of walk us through that and how tedious of a process that was.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of long days. There still is a lot of long days. So it's one of those scenarios where I think the timing, as a result of all the other elements that are going on, right? There's a lot of contributing factors. But so there is a huge supply chain challenge in every industry, right? Not specific to us, but every industry. But specific to us is the construction piece where I kind of hang my hat right now is those build times are really, really stretched out where they're more than double what they were because of various challenges on the supply side. But that's then allowed us to get into larger accounts, more homes because the timeline is so stretched out. So I can do, you know, a house count of a large size with relatively a much smaller headcount in the office, because when we had to start, you know, like say once a day, it's now once every 3 or 4 days. Okay. So I can now double my market share footprint with the same headcount. And now the challenge is as supply chain starts to correct itself, I gotta continue to labor up as that timeline starts to condense and then the workload increase. We get the lift on the schedule there. Vehicles has been the biggest challenge, I would say, by far. I have vehicles on order with everyone you can think of, and no ETAs, no dates, no VIN numbers. I'll randomly get a phone call like, we got one van, it's coming from South Carolina. And I'll be like, okay, great, let's get it here. Vehicles has been our biggest pain point for sure. With I can't get bigger right now because of vehicles. It's a pretty big deal.
Oh, wow. Okay. And are you exclusively residential new construction at this point?
Yeah. So currently we're just in residential new construction. The plan is to have a full portfolio of different revenue streams, right? So we want to get into building relationships with these homeowners long-term for their service and repair needs. And commercial is an area that I don't have an extensive background on. So if I did get into that, it would require me to have someone come in that does have that, because I do know one thing is I know what I'm not good at. And I know a lot of guys have gotten into that and they've been very, very successful. And I know a lot of guys got into it and have been done very, very poorly.
Sure.
So commercial is a piece that is on the talking block, but I got to make sure we have the right team in place for that.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty good segue to my next question you're talking about, which is interesting about the difficulty of getting, you know, trucks and vehicles and that inhibiting your business a little bit. My guess from the outside looking in would have been finding workers, because that's just something you hear from a lot of HVAC contractors. Was that a little bit of an issue for you as well?
Yeah. So we have, you know, hiring ads out, all the normal stuff. But the one thing I think we've been able to capitalize on is, you know, in our market, it's a lot of the same names every day. These guys have got 20, 30 year old established businesses, and then this new truck pops up on the road and they're seeing us drive into what I considered, you know, a high barrier of entry is these, some of these larger developments that build at a rapid succession. And I think that was like, what's going on over there? They kind of want to peek over the fence. So they're calling the number off the truck. They're emailing in, you know, in addition, they're starting to look and see we're getting ads on Indeed and other areas. And it just kind of organically just kind of came in. And when they come in, I always encourage them, hey, I'm going to step outside. I want you to go in out to the shop and talk to some of the guys. Like, just ask them the good, bad, and ugly, right? And they do, and they come in, they're like, when can I start? So I don't know what they're talking about out there. I don't know what promises they've made them. And the other piece is I'm trying to do things from the actual field level that makes a difference, right? So a lot of companies may do biweekly or some weird pay scale. I pay every Friday. So weekly pay is important to a lot of these guys. Because some of them are coming from places where they were paid weekly. And to go to biweekly or a different pay format, there's a gap in their household income there. So those are kind of the areas we're going to look, you know, we're rolling out health insurance here very soon. And we're going to offer health insurance from day one. There'll be like no 90-day bake-in period. We're giving them flexible options about vehicles. If they want a company vehicle, definitely is available. If they want to look at getting their own vehicle, we have a program internally to help them secure their own vehicle. And we're really trying to just think outside the box and listen to what these guys want as far as quality of life. And the other piece is we're trying to schedule them in areas they live in. I don't want a guy driving 2 hours to go do work when he can drive 30 minutes.
Right. So how did you get in with all these builders? So it looks like you broke through a lot of the clutter there in your market, but how did you develop those relationships and get those houses?
I worked in that industry for years. And I would say by and large, this industry in my market, there's been a change of guard over the last 3 to 5 years. A lot of the seasoned home builders have retired. And the next generation, which is all in my age range, it seems, have come up. And, you know, going to our local association events for the home builders, going to all of these open houses that they host for their annual, you know, they share all this data about where they're going and what they're doing. And by and large, it's networking and relationships. Again, so I've been in this industry for years with that same group that has started, some of them started in the field and now they're running big divisions. And I feel pretty good that our industry locally in our market is in good hands. These guys are really the top talent.
Okay. And you were talking a little bit about, you know, the broader issue of supply chain issues. Has that affected you specifically getting your hands on air conditioners, HVAC products for these homes? And if so, how do you navigate that?
So part of our, a little bit of an advantage is we're doing plumbing and air conditioning. So on the plumbing piece, we get in at the underground stage of the house before foundation goes in. So we have a really good view of the construction timeline and we're utilizing that to order the equipment. We know certain model numbers are on back order, certain air handlers are on back order, certain condensers. So we're utilizing that with the same time of keeping the mindset of the cash, right? So if I get that equipment on the rack, but it doesn't leave for 2 months, I've paid that invoice and my money's tied up. So it is a little bit of a dance. I would say we kind of go through these cycles. Like we had metal issues and then there's flex duct issues, which is still an ongoing issue. But equipment for the model numbers I am speccing in with the builders, we have been pretty good about being able to deliver on that. And I'm getting into this very late in this conversation, right? So my business has kind of started on the back half of the supply chain issue. So I kind of got the privilege of watching and observing all the supply chain challenges with windows, trusses, air conditioning equipment, you name it. So I kind of roadmap that out to make sure we were going to be set up for success. So when I go to the builder, I can deliver on that commitment. I got to think that through.
Okay. Now, do you just strictly deal with the home builder or do you have an audience with the who will be the homeowner? I'm just trying to think, you know, how you upsell for indoor air quality or a higher SEER level. Kind of walk me through that.
Right. So right now, our business is still maturing. We're still very, very new. We started specifically only in plumbing. AC was bolted on very recently at the request of, you know, the customers and my inability to say no. So we're actually working on platforms now for post-closing relationships. So after the home closes, we want to make that relationship a long-standing relationship outside of just the service sticker on the unit. So we're working on that program currently, and we plan on rolling that out in the first quarter.
Okay. Now, was starting from scratch easier or harder than you thought when you were kind of going into it? Now that you can kind of look back, maybe a little bit, not a ton yet, but a little bit.
You know, I looked at buying a couple different other operating businesses that were, you know, up and running already, and various owners wanting to retire, all kinds of reasons. I looked at multiple ones. And I kept seeing some of the same underlying issues that kind of plague our industry when you get to a certain size. You know, the 10 million and under volume companies, you know, that's a sweet spot. You can make a really good living there. If you go past that, some of the, you know, the tough conversations are inventory control and management and some of the accounting practices and stuff like that. So I look at it as me not acquiring an existing business kind of gave me the advantage of putting those systems in place from day one. Like we are implementing a inventory software that really implementation is where a lot of failure happens on the inventory piece. But because we did it essentially in the first 6 months, it was plug and play because there was no, you didn't have to stop the ship, right? We just bolted it on. And I do feel hindsight that I kind of love the fact that we did this from scratch. There was a ton of stress, a ton of, long, long days. But I know where the challenges are, excuse me, with some of the, how do you bill out jobs and how are you costing this? And the inventory control piece, you know, the field installation is pretty straightforward. It's the internal piece that kind of sets a barrier for scaling. So I was able to really kind of hone in there and hang my hat and say, this is what I want to see this actually happen. I have never seen it happen in my career successfully. and some of these little things that become big challenges later. But when you're small, they're like, oh, it's a simple 30-second thing. But when you're doing large volumes, it becomes this whole, like, I got to hire another person just to manage this piece.
Sure.
So yeah, I'm very blessed and fortunate. And I feel like God put me down this path on purpose. And to greenfield this was something that I wouldn't change if I had to.
Okay. Yeah, because it certainly sounds like you're, I guess, jumping into the deep end of the pool, for lack of a better term there. So kind of the question I had is, usually when I'm talking to contractors that just start out, they're maybe starting in their basement, maybe the wife's doing the books, then they hire one person on, and maybe 6 months later, they hire two people on. You seem to be hiring a lot at the beginning. Is that, I'm just kind of want to focus in on the training of these people when you're trying to establish a company culture, right? But maybe that's not even completely in place because you're so new and you're grabbing people from different jobs who have their own way of doing things. How do you get everyone on the same page?
Well, I have the benefit of, you know, when we're getting these contracts from builders, they have their scopes of work in there. And a lot of them are pretty generic and they have the pretty much same jargon. And then the other piece is, so we're putting like standards of installation practices in place. So I was able to kind of pick all that together and put it in one document. And I feel like it honestly just took a few hours, right? It just took me a few hours, type it up and it's done. The other piece was training, right? So we are really big about trying to make sure these guys come in, they understand the scope of work and the standards, but not only that, but they also are going to get ongoing training. So I look for partnerships with our manufacturers that can help us get training that locally I don't have access to. Like for us, like backflow preventers. So I've got one of our manufacturers that makes backflow preventers is hosting a class for us here locally in the first quarter. And that's something that I feel like is a value add to those guys because they're going to get certified for backflows. And it's another service piece we can add on. Some of the air conditioning equipment manufacturers are bringing some of our guys in and showing them the updated new technologies. We're very fortunate that we're small enough to be nimble to take advantage of those. Where you get to a certain size, it takes so many people involved to make a pretty simple decision. And being small and nimble is a little bit of a competitive advantage. And with the training piece, we also have like an internal program. So if you have no experience, zero, we can take you from walking in the door to understanding duct work in the residential sense in a few months. And you'll be partnered up with a duct mechanic. And you will hang your hat there. You'll be there every day, Monday through Friday. You do get a paycheck. It is paid training. And we provide a path for them to make a meaningful, livable wage that they can provide for a family.
Sounds like you've come a long way in a short time as we're, you know, coming into the year here. When you kind of look and what's in store for 2022, what are your major goals or some maybe benchmarks you want to hit in the next year?
So in 2022, one of the areas is we really want to grow our Southeast division a little bit more robustly. We're operating in Florida, this Port St. Lucie, all the way up the East Coast to Daytona. That area, there is a huge demand for trades. There is not a lot of labor there. So there's a ton of training opportunities there. Or, you know, we're also operating in Central Florida, has a much bigger population, and there's a more and bigger employment body. The construction industry has been heavy in this market for quite a long time, but the East Coast has been kind of a bedroom community for a long time, and all the new ventures, SpaceX, Blue Origin, all those guys have put a ton of jobs on the East Coast, and I feel like that area is an area I really want to focus on developing in 22. We really want to get AC up to speed with plumbing. You know, plumbing has grown pretty substantially, and we want the AC piece to come in next and kind of scale. So we're kind of going one-to-one with them. So I kind of have, you know, love both the children equally kind of scenario. So that's kind of the full agenda for 22 is secure more vehicles
right.
And just try to make good business decisions that we can serve our customers and help our employees that make sense with the company culture.
Got it. I kind of like how you phrased it too, right? When he said there's a little bit of a workforce issue, it wasn't a problem. It was a training opportunity. That's kind of how leaders and owners have to look at things in that positive prism, right?
Right. Absolutely. I mean, I came from, you know, my high school job, I worked in fast food, right? And I worked at Chick-fil-A, and I looked at, you know, the food service industry or the landscape industry or, you know, any industry where you're making hourly wages, that same level of work ethic and hard work, you know, mindset can go into the trades and you can make a much better pay rate. And that's where I'm super excited, right? There's a bunch of young guys and women out there that want to try something different, but they don't have the resources to necessarily go to a technical school, or everyone wants a resume that has years of experience. And I think a differentiator is like, hey, we're going to take a chance on you. It may not work out. It may cost us thousands of dollars and you lots of your time, and you may hate this industry. But there's a chance you might like it. And there's also a chance that there's a ton of opportunity. I don't ever hire anybody anticipating that this is their last stop. So if I'm a stepping stone for them to go on to something better in their life, I'm more than happy to develop them along the way. So at their exit, if they go to start their own business, or if they go into a different trade, something unrelated, they go in the medical field, great. Hopefully some of the skills and moral values you've inherited here, you can apply elsewhere. And I got that because I worked at Chick-fil-A through high school and college, and that culture really resonates with me still to this day. And the older I get, the more I appreciate it. When I was young, I just took it in and took it for granted. But as I got older, I'm like, man, that really is a different way of thinking. And as I work at other places, I'm like, I can't believe the opportunity that's out there for someone that wants to just think outside the box.
Right. No, that's good stuff. Well, Jason, thanks for sharing your story with us, and congratulations on starting a company in a worldwide pandemic. Sounds like quite a journey you're on there.
No better time, right?
Absolutely. I'll let you get back to work, but thank you very much for taking the time.
It was a pleasure. I really do appreciate it.